KNOM Update News. I'm Matthew Smith, and it's 12:02. A conservation organization is giving formal notice that it will sue the National Marine Fisheries Service for failing to decide whether ringed and bearded seals will be listed as threatened species due to climate change. The Center for Biological Diversity on Monday announced a required 60-day notice of intent to sue over the failure to list ringed and bearded seals. A listing triggers additional protections for the animals. The Center for Biological Diversity Alaska Director Rebecca Noblin says a decision was due in December, but the agency extended its deadline for 6 months. The new deadline was June 10th. The agency proposed listing ringed seals in the Arctic Basin and the North Atlantic and two populations of bearded seals in the Pacific Ocean because of projected loss of sea ice habitat. Kuskokwim subsistence fishers are facing another emergency salmon fishing closure, extending the current closure to 12 days. KYUK's Angela Denning Barnes reports the federal managers requested the extended closure in a meeting last Friday. They asked the Kuskokwim River Salmon Management Working Group, an advisory group of industry representatives and subsistence fishermen, to extend the current closure from 7 to 12 days. That would make it the longest closure in the Kuskokwim's history. Travis Ellison is the acting area management biologist. He says the management goal is 127,000 king salmon, and he says right now the numbers simply aren't there.
This is very unfortunate that we need to take these actions at this time. We do realize the fact that how hard this is on people of the Kuskokwim River, but we are seeing some of the lowest numbers we've ever seen. We are way behind 2010 and 2011. Or we didn't even come close to meeting a lot of our escapement goals. We feel that this is the most appropriate thing to do at this time.
The current closure is a rolling closure that divides the river into five sections, closing them one at a time as the King Run progresses upriver. It restricts salmon fishing with nets larger than 4-inch mesh or longer than 60 feet. Several working group members spoke against extending the closure for another 5 days. Some talked about potential civil disobedience and fishing and incurring face citations and fines. Evelyn Thomas of Crooked Creek said that her community was still recovering from the flood they experienced last year and that the people needed to fish.
There's not enough money to go around, and you're $1 over the food stamp limit, and you can't go out and fish. You have to become a criminal or watch your children be hungry.
The working group voted down the state's proposal and came back with one of its own. It asked for a 5-day opening following the rolling closure and the possibility of additional restrictions after that. State and federal managers met in private for about 20 minutes, but in the end, they did not budge. They rejected the working group's proposal, a rejection that the working group cannot override. Group members took turns stating their disappointment with the decision. Bev Hoffman of Bethel.
Most of you leave in the wintertime. You have no clue. You can go to Costco to get your food. These people can't.
The cause of the poor Kuskokwim King Run remains a mystery. Some working group members said the run could simply be late, but managers said they can't count on that. In the end, the state plan was adopted. Subsistence fishing for king salmon will remain closed for 12 consecutive days. The first to close and the first to reopen will be the lower section of Subdistrict 1B, Tuntutuliak and Eek. Section 2, near Bethel, up to Tillooksack, will remain closed through Sunday, June 24th. The leader of an Alaska militia who gave speeches claiming that Fairbanks was on the verge of having blood in its streets was convicted yesterday of 9 federal charges, including conspiracy to kill federal law enforcement officers and possession of illegal weapons. Alaska Peacekeepers Militia leader Schaefer Cox leaned forward and intently watched jurors as the judge polled them individually to confirm the verdicts. When he finished, Cox grabbed a microphone and said that the prosecution had withheld evidence from the jury. The 7-woman, 5-man jury deliberated for 2 full days before returning a verdict against the 28-year-old Cox and 26-year-old Lonnie Vernon on the conspiracy charge. The jury deadlocked on the same charge for another member, 37-year-old Coleman Barney. U.S. District Court Judge Robert Bryan told those in the courtroom that he would declare a mistrial on that one count. Assistant U.S. Attorney Stephen Scrocky said he expects years of imprisonment for Cox. The judge set sentencing for September 14th. Governor Sean Parnell signed a bill yesterday sponsored by the late state representative Carl Gatto. House Bill 56 deals with arson. It says that if the crime of arson is committed, conspiring arsonists can face both arson and conspiracy charges rather than simply arson, as under the current law. Parnell called the bill part of Gatto's indelible legacy. He signed it at the Palmer Fire Station yesterday. Gatto was from Palmer. He died in April from complications related to cancer. Parnell also signed bills providing corporate income tax credits to employers who hire military veterans and death certificates at no charge to families of deceased veterans. Five scientists from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration are scouting Southeast Alaska beaches for debris from last year's Japanese tsunami. The team left Ketchikan on Friday with plans to explore the shoreline along the outer coast for 10 days. Jeep Rice of Juneau's Aku Bay Lab calls it a preliminary assessment.
What we hope to find is, I suppose, just what is the status of the beaches, and, you know, I guess a part of us hopes we find lots of debris, and another part of us hopes that we don't find any. That would be just a really cool thing if we didn't find any debris.
The scientists are starting with the southern tip of Baranoff Island, after which they'll turn north. They expect to wrap up the southeast debris survey on Sunday. Rice says they'll conduct similar surveys on other Alaska coastlines this summer and repeat them next year. NOAA has 40 years of data from Alaskan beaches, and Rice says over the years, what washes up has changed.
We have an idea how the debris has shifted, say, from trawl web back in the 70s to all these plastic bottles showing up on shore. And, of course, we saw none of those back in the 70s or 80s. You know, times change and debris changes. So now we're going to have another dramatic change in the debris with things coming from these Japanese aquaculture farms and debris from cities that were destroyed.
Rice says the scientists will be counting any tsunami-related debris they find, taking pictures of it and cataloging it. The data is collected. After the data is collected, that is, NOAA will determine whether and how to clean it up. Rice expects the debris accumulation to peak next winter, but he says it could continue coming ashore in Alaska for up to a decade. And the Coast Guard in Valdez is monitoring a 49-foot fishing vessel after the crew intentionally grounded it after hitting a rock in Main Bay in Prince William Sound. The vessel, known as Radon, is close to a salmon hatchery, so Coast Guard crews are watching for any signs of diesel and oil pollution from yesterday's grounding. Two crew members aboard the vessel safely transferred to another boat. A Coast Guard helicopter crew spotted a 20-foot by 15-foot sheen near the grounded ship. The Radon reportedly carried 3,200 gallons of diesel fuel and 500 gallons of gasoline. The agency has ordered the Radon's owner to remove all the fuel and make satisfactory temporary repairs before trying to tow the vessel to Cordova. Alaska Marine Response has been hired by the vessel's owner to deploy boom and assist with fuel removal. The price of gold in New York this morning was, rather, in New York this hour, was down $8.60, trading at $1,621.10 an ounce. Silver down 27 cents to $28.57 an ounce. The price of zinc was steady at 86 cents a pound. And Alaska Airlines Flight 152 left Anchorage on time this morning at 10:52 and is expected to arrive in Nome 9 minutes ahead of schedule at 12:20. It's unofficially 41 degrees outside the downtown KNOM studios, 10 and a half minutes past 12 o'clock.